Take your Bibles and turn tonight with me, please, to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter number 13. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Word of God. I hope you've studied it out before, but this is, I was reading on Monday, and it's unusual for me to have the mail a couple of days ahead of time, but the Lord stirred my heart in this text. It's a familiar text, but I believe it's a needed text. And Jesus said in verse 33, He said, "Little children, yet a little while I'm with you." He said, "You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give you unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." And I guess if I was going to title the message tonight, it would be "A New Commandment for a New Year." You say, "Well, Pastor, this is so elementary." You'd be surprised how many people are missing the elementary, amen, in their lives. You'd be surprised how many families are missing the elementary. You'd be surprised how many churches are missing the elementary in their lives. Amen. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for my people. Thank you for the measure of health that we have and able to be here tonight. Lord, I think of, Lord, those tonight like Sister Donna, waiting in line, Lord, for the liver. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll open that door. God, I pray. I was thinking yesterday as I drove through Church Hill of Brother Anderson, had to transplant years ago, and the first time around it didn't take and it didn't look good, but the second time around, and now, Lord, years later, he's still doing well. I pray, God, you'll bless Sister Donna. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us tonight in the service to glean something, our Father, that'll take us a little further down the road. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just have three simple little thoughts that I want to share with you tonight from the text. You know, in John chapter number 13 here, there's something going on. Jesus is, he's fixing to leave off of the scene. He's saying kind of, in a way, farewell to those that he loved. He's fixing to go to that old rugged cross. And he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Can I tell you something tonight? That's a tall order, to love one another the way Jesus loved us. He told us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, he said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." You talk about a tall order. Fellas, that's a tall order right there, amen? I believe it's an impossible command to carry out apart from the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Bible said in the book of Romans, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Amen. I believe the only way we could even begin to love one another, to love our wives, to love our God, the way that Jesus tells us to, is through the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I want to give you three things tonight. The first thing I'd like to look at for just a moment is the exhortation to love one another. We're being exhorted to love one another. Let me ask you this tonight. If this was going to be an automatic for the disciples, if this was just going to be something that it's going to happen automatically, would there be a need for the exhortation? I believe love is something really that we need to guard. I believe it's something really that we need to work at. Amen. A marriage doesn't turn out good just haphazardly, amen, it turns out good because you got two people that's willing to work at it, amen. It takes work and takes a willingness to love, a willingness to forgive. And I believe that's so in the church. Jesus said, "This new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." I'll give you something tonight that I believe would be a blessing to you. Turn with me to 1 John for just a moment. 1 John chapter number 2, and then a little bit in chapter number 4 as well. Again, we're talking about the exhortation. We have in the text tonight, Jesus exhorting his disciples to love one another. Then when you get over to 1 John, we have the exhortation to God's people. The Bible said in verse number 3 of chapter 2, "And hereby do we know that we know him when we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word," I want you to look at the importance of the word of God in loving one another. It said, "Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." I believe tonight that if we're saved by the grace of God, we should never get to a place where we're satisfied. We ought to want that love that God put in us to be perfected. And none of us are there yet. Would somebody say amen? We're not there. That's why Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." He said, "Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked." I'll touch on that later. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning." The old commandment which is the word which you have heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even to now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." So we have an exhortation in 1 John to the church, to God's people. Look at chapter number 4 with me for a moment. These are wonderful verses of Scripture. They're down there where the rubber meets the road. The Bible said in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time." I'll touch on this a little bit later too. Beloved, there's a world around us that's looking for something. You know where they're going to see it? In the lives of God's people. Watch what he said here. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." God wants that love to mature, doesn't he? "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. He that hath seen," and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. We find that over and over, don't we? God's wanting to perfect that love in his children. He said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, Because as he is, so are we in this world. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'd hate for Jesus to come back tonight and me have something in my heart towards the brethren or towards a lost man, as far as that goes. Say amen. I'd hate for the Lord to find me like that. Amen. Because of what he has done for me, I ought to be able to love others. The Bible said there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. I love this verse. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'll tell you tonight, God is exhorting us as his children, amen, to love one another. Look with me at Luke, please, for just a moment. I'm trying to move on to the second thing. That's what I'm really excited about tonight, the second and the third thing. But look with me at Luke, I think, what I say, chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10 with me for just a moment. This is a familiar text, but I'm not sure that it's familiar in its context. We know the story in Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan, but that story in its context is talking about loving God and loving your neighbor. The Bible said in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Verse 27, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Another text tells us that God took all the law and the commandments, and he hung it on those two. You get those two right, honey, the rest of them will fall right in place. Say amen. You get to loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, it'll all fall right in line. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And here comes little smarty pants now, verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? In other words, you told me to love him. Now, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let me just stop and say this before I read the rest of the story tonight. There's two people in this story, beloved, a Levite and a priest, that are living their life by chance. Let me tell you something about God's people. We're not living our life by chance. We're living our life by choice. The Word of God said of the Samaritan as he journeyed, he was going somewhere. Glory to God tonight, youngins, we're going somewhere. Amen. I'll read a text in a little while. Jesus knew from whence he came, and he knew where he was going. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, he knew he came from the Father, and he knew he was going back to the Father. And God's people know where we come from. And we know where we're going back to. Amen. We're going to the Father. Watch this now. And the Word of God said, he came and he had compassion on him. Verse 34, he went to him. He bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine. Those things, beloved, by the way, are not cheap. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. In other words, beloved, he was willing to walk that somebody else might ride. If you've never seen the movie Sheffy, I encourage you to get it and watch it. Amen. Sheffy, we're going to try to pray about giving somebody his horse. Amen. But there wasn't no need to pray about it. Amen. The man needed the horse. Amen. And he gave it away. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host. And he said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Boy, I just saw something right there. When I come again. Ooh, glory to God. You, you love your neighbor as yourself, honey. There's one coming again. And he'll settle it all up. Say amen. There'll be a reward, amen, for the children of God. Watch now. He said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go thou and do likewise. So there's an exhortation in Scripture. You can't miss it. To love one another. We're exhorted by the Savior. And then we're exhorted, beloved, by the Scripture to love one another. But then there's an example. And I think really that's what this whole chapter is about. There's an example given to love one another. Beloved, let me say this tonight. There is no example anywhere that would compare to our Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, when he sets the example, he sets it right. Say amen. He gets it perfect. Amen. He gets it right. You say, Pastor, where is the example found to love one another? Look in verse 1 of chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, over and over and over in the Gospels, Jesus would say, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. But now he knows, beloved, the hour is come. He's going to be given his life for our sin. The Bible said here, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Look at this statement. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. When I read that again today, a scripture came to my mind. I didn't take the time to look it up. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. But it says, a friend loveth at all times. Boy, I like that, don't you? Honey, you don't turn on this love and turn it off and turn it on and turn it off. Jesus had a love for these men that went all the way to the end. He loved them all the way to the end. And then Jesus gives an example of what this love is like. And listen, we're going to go into this scripture, and I need to say a few things. The Bible said he look at verse 3. And I'll read verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You remember now, this is the disciples that at one point in time are arguing over which one's going to get to sit next to him in his kingdom. You say, what's Jesus doing here? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's teaching them what real love is. Real love is humility. Real love is not about being exalted. The Bible said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And he's given them an example of what a servant is. Amen. He girds himself, and he does that, beloved, that would be the job in this day of a servant. They walked in the dusty roads and the dusty trails, and they walked with sandals, and their feet got dirty. And it was customary, beloved, to show hospitality when someone came into the house, that the servant in that house would wash the feet of those that had come in from the outside. I'll say some more about it. The Bible said he cometh to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash, you don't ever have to worry about what Peter's thinking, do you? Because whatever he's thinking, he just spits it right out of his mouth. Amen. And the Bible said here, If I wash thee not, Jesus said, thou hast no part with me. Simon said, Lord, then not my feet only, but go ahead and wash my hands, wash my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. But if he knew, he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So that after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I'm going to go ahead and say a few things tonight. It's here in the text, and I think it needs to be said. Beloved, I'm not going to fall out with people over foot washing. Amen? But here's what I'm going to tell you. You will not find it as an ordinance in the church of the living God. Let me tell you this, beloved. Listen, what Jesus was doing here was not just a ritual. It was something that needed to be done. I've been thinking about this. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about it. Brother Nick, I didn't see you a while ago until after prayer. You must have slipped in just a little bit late. Brother Nick, have you worked all day? Well, let me tell you what I've been able to study and just read up on. But beloved, people that make an ordinance out of this in the church, you know what they do? They ask people to make sure their feet are clean. And then they do one foot. They wash one foot. Now let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully right here. Jesus is doing something in this text that needed to be done. Their feet were dirty. The reason I called Brother Nick's name a while ago, now his daddy probably knows. I don't know. I know this. Some things went through my mind when I was a teenager. My daddy said to me one day, he said, Son, put them shoes outside. They're rotten. And then another time he said this. It was winter time. He said, Son, I throwed them tennis shoes in the fire. He said, They're rotten. And he wished he hadn't have done that after he'd done that. I mean, it made the whole house rotten. Amen. But you see, here's the thing, though. If I was going to wash somebody's feet tonight, the reason I thought about Nick is because he's worked all day. He'd be the one that I'd want to come down here because his feet would probably be dirtier than anybody else's in that. You got your work boots on, brother? Amen. Do your feet stink, Brother Nick? They don't. Amen. God bless you, brother. I was just wondering about that. Amen. But anyway, you know what? It wouldn't have mattered to Jesus if Peter's feet stunk or if John's feet stunk. It wouldn't have mattered nary bit to him. What he's doing is showing us here, beloved, listen, that love is not about a ritual, about just going through the motion of doing something, whether it needs to be done or not. Now, I'll give you an example of what I'm going to talk about right here tonight. I mentioned a while ago in prayer, Sister Donna. Let me give you an example. Before long, we're going to get a phone call. And when we get a phone call, we're going to take up a special offering for that dear lady so that she can pay for her motel bills and pay her bills down there. Now, I could bring her in here tonight, and of course, she wouldn't do that. They don't do that. The ladies wash the ladies' feet. Miss Eve could wash Miss Donna's feet tonight. But listen, If Miss Eve would do something like that and then be unwilling to help her with what she really needs, if I was to bring Brother Coulter in here tonight and be willing to wash his feet and yet not be willing to help him pay his hospital bill, is anybody listening to me tonight? And I'm telling you, that's going on, amen. Listen to me tonight. Jesus is doing something that needs to be done. And it's not a church ordinance. And listen, for it to be a church ordinance, it was practiced in the church. Amen. You can find it in the book of Acts where a lady washed the feet of those that came into her house. But it was a custom in that day. Amen. They didn't have showers. Amen. And they didn't have what you and I have. And so it was not a necessary thing in our day, but in that day, it was very necessary. And Jesus was stooping down to the place of a servant to show his men that he loved them, amen, and that this thing called Christianity is not about exalting ourselves. It's about humbling ourselves and being a servant to somebody else along the way. Let me ask you this tonight. I'm thinking of two families right now. One man is eating a lot of microwave food. I mean a ton of microwave food. And I'm thinking of two families right now. You know what? If we had 16 ladies, just 16 ladies that would fix one meal once every 2 months, one meal once every 2 months, then we could minister in those homes. Amen. Just take a little something baked in love or cooked in love. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Here's what I'm talking about, beloved. That goes somewhere in the kingdom of God. Amen. Not a clean bucket of water and a clean foot that's already been washed, but something that's needed. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, that's where it's at. Amen. Jesus was doing what was needed. So he gave us an example of loving. He loved his own, and he loved them to the end. He said, "Here a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." I don't find them arguing anymore on who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, who's going to sit beside of Jesus in the kingdom. Those things aren't important. The important things were that we serve, amen, and be a servant to God's people. There's an exhortation to love one another. Let me get to the last thing. There's an example given, a wonderful example given to love one another by the Lord Jesus. But then there's an examination of those that love one another. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Jesus said, according to verse 35, people are watching us. Did you know that? "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Now, some of you all don't know this, and I'm not going to mention any names, but about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks, maybe six, there's a lady that started coming to our church. When we met her, she was very hurt. We stood in the driveway and we talked to her. And she's the lady that I told you that I've never done it before or since, but when I walked up and talked to her, I said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to charge you 50 cents to come to our church. And I said, if you get down there to church and you don't find a bunch of people that love you and you don't find a bunch of people that you love, I said, I'll give you money back." Well, guess what? She come. And guess what? She called me the other day. She didn't call me, actually. She texted me. She said, "Pastor, I was saved." She's missed one service on Sunday morning since. And she said, "I was saved in October of 1989. I've never been baptized. Would you baptize me?" You say, "Pastor, what do you think's going on?" How many knows what's going on? She done come down here and found a bunch of people who loves her. Found a bunch of people that she loves. Amen. We've got lost people coming. And this man told me in a text message, he said, we're not planning on going anywhere else. We love coming there. And I believe they'll be saved before long. But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. We have the capacity to blow it.
All we got to do is start eating one another and not loving one another. Say amen. Devour one another and we can blow it all. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's not going on. And I thank God it's not, but it's important. A new commandment, a new year. God said, love one another. There's people on the outside looking in and they're examining what's going on at Bible Way Baptist Church. I'll say this to you tonight, and I mean this tonight. Beloved, there are a lot of places where there's a church circle. I'm not talking about Kingsport now. I'm talking about individual churches, bodies of Christ. And there's a circle in that church. And it is as if in that circle they dare anybody to try to break into that circle. Oh, that's not God's way. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with being tight-knit and there's nothing wrong with fellowshipping. But I tell you, we ought to everyone be reaching and grabbing. Come on in here. Come on in here. Come on in here. Come on in here. Amen. This is not my church. It's His. A place where sinners ought to be welcome. A place where God's people, listen, when they need surgery, I'm not talking about physical now. Honey, there's God's people that get out of swords, amen, and they need some heart surgery. A place where they can heal up, amen. I tell you, God, in these 10, almost 11 years, has let men of God come in this place and heal up and go on and serve the Lord. That's what it ought to be all about. There's an examination. You say, well, I don't like it because people, well, you don't have to like it. It's true. Jesus said by this, there's only one way they're going to know, Brother Mike. Me and you've got to love one another. Brother Mike, it's easy. It's easy to love you, buddy. I mean that. It's not hard. Amen. It ain't like trying to love Mike Moody. Amen. It's easy to love you, Brother Mike. You know better, don't you, Brother Mike? Amen. Amen. Listen, let's keep our guard up. Old Slewfoot give anything he could break in. Amen. And tear down what God's building up. I was telling Brother Charles a while ago, I said, you know, we've been having 170, 180 people on Sunday morning. Last Sunday we had 130 some. I mean, that's 50 people out sick. Amen. And it's going on, going around and all that. And some of them maybe was getting ready for a New Year's party. I don't know. But anyway, some of them I know were out of town on vacation. But I know this. God will help us if we'll love one another. There'll be people that will examine that. And people will want what we have. How many can remember before you got saved looking at somebody's life and knowing they had something you needed, they had something you wanted, say amen. And it really wasn't something. At that time, you thought it was something. But Brother Junior was really someone. It was really the Lord Jesus, amen. How many's glad you come tonight?